In Jesus' time, there were no psychologists. There was no Myers-Briggs test. But Jesus certainly wondered about himself and tried to come up with an understanding of who he was and what his life ought to be about. But he had to do so without benefit of therapists and counselors and confessors and psychologists. But I think chances are that when Jesus thought about himself and what he was about, he had in mind this first reading that we had this evening from the prophet Isaiah, where the prophet talks about the just man. The just man who is faithful to his calling and who is rejected by others because of his fidelity and indeed suffers greatly and yet remains faithful. Those who study scripture describe this just man as the suffering servant. Some of you may have heard that term before, the suffering servant. And indeed, in the book of Isaiah, there are four passages, different passages written over a long period of time that describe in various ways this suffering servant. In some cases, it seems to be referring to an individual. In other cases, it seems to be referring to a whole people, the whole people of Israel. So my guess is that when Jesus looks at himself and what he's about in this world, he thinks of himself in these suffering servant terms. So when he asks his disciples, well, who do people say that I am? What do people expect of me? When they see me, what do they think? And Jesus is evidently disappointed in what his disciples say. People don't seem to understand Jesus in the same way that Jesus has come to understand himself. Even those who call him Messiah or Savior have a very different expectation of Jesus from what Jesus himself understands that to be. Jesus understands being Messiah or suffering servant to be one who has a deep, profound, intimate knowledge of the Father, who remains faithful to that relationship, notwithstanding all sorts of rejection and injustice, who lives his life faithfully despite all adversity. In other words, Jesus' own faith, we usually don't think of Jesus as having faith, but Jesus' own faith demands that he live his life in a particular way if he is to be a man of integrity. His faith expresses itself, if you will, in works, which is the second reading, of course. James says, what good is faith? What good is committed relationship to someone, in other words? What good is committed relationship to someone if you don't somehow express that relationship, that commitment, in a life of love and compassion and kindness and graciousness? Be doers of the word we heard last week. Don't just listen to it, but live it. Let the word affect the way you live your life. Christians have fought one another, literally fought one another over the years about whether faith alone all by itself is enough for salvation, or whether works, good works, are required for salvation. And these two groups have set themselves up as opponents. And I think what James is saying, what Jesus says, is that faith and works are not opposed to one another. Living faith presumes good works. You can't have one without the other. Now, I think in our ordinary relationships with our brothers and sisters, we have a pretty good idea of what the implications of committed relationship means. You take care of loved ones. You take care of your family. You live lives of kindness and generosity to your neighbors. You love even your enemies. These are the works that go along with committed relationship to God. And even in our civic community, we have a pretty good idea that our commitment to Jesus, our belief in the gospel, ought to affect the way we live in community. It ought to affect our political opinions. It ought to affect the way we vote. It ought to affect the way we care for the environment and the refugee and the prisoner and women and children and homosexuals. We have a pretty good sense, I think, that our faith, our commitment to Jesus, ought to play itself out naturally and automatically in good works toward our brothers and sisters. But faith, at least the Catholic faith, is more even than that. To be a practicing Catholic means that we are a committed member of a faith community that we call parish. We're not in this faith business by ourselves. Baptism means that we are baptized into a body, the body of Christ. And that body is present, is instantiated, if you will, in this particular community here and now. So faith in the gospel, commitment to Jesus, necessarily means involvement in, engagement with your parish community. Christians, certainly Catholic Christians, cannot say, I'm spiritual, but not religious. To me, that means I have faith, but I don't have any necessary relationship or engagement with persons of like belief. I'm out there by myself, and I don't need anyone else. That's faith without works. So all of us here, I presume, even those who are visitors, all of us here are members of a faith community. What does that mean concretely in our daily lives? At a minimum, it means that we worship together, if not every Sunday, frequently. We come together as a body to remember Jesus, to give thanks to God, to offer ourselves in return for God's love in service to our brothers and sisters. We seek transformation, deeper, more pervasive transformation to this body that we call parish. It ought to mean that we're engaged in some meaningful, visible way in the activities of the parish. With this weekend, Holy Trinity sort of begins a new ministry year. All kinds of things happening this weekend. I'm supposed to be in three places this evening after Mass. So find something that your parish is engaged in and participate with your brothers and sisters, either on site here or in your neighborhood. Do the work of the parish with other brothers and sisters who are part of this community. And I think it means that we share what we have with the community. Not only our gifts, but our resources. In that psalm, we talk about the psalm response that we sang after the first reading. We talk about being filled with the Spirit of God, knowing the mercy of God, knowing the love of God. That's the first step. To know God's love for me, for us. And the second step is to respond in some way to that love that we have experienced. To return that love in kind to our brothers and sisters. Please.